It's Thursday, August 22nd, 2019, and you're welcome to this podcast from Black Knight, Ireland's leading provider of web hosting, domains and internet services. This is Conor Muinchon in the Black Knight studio. Today we're going to talk about IEDR, the IE Domain Registry, and the new dispute resolution process which they introduced earlier this summer. It's called the ADRP, which stands for Alternative Dispute Resolution Process. And it's offered as an option for people who wish to dispute a domain name as an alternative process to the formal dispute resolution process, which also remains in place. Now, neither the formal process nor the alternative process affect a person's statutory rights. In other words, you can still go to court with your dispute if you wish, but it gets expensive. Both the dispute resolution processes are designed to be easier and less expensive than legal action. But as we're about to hear, the formal process was still considered expensive for private individuals and for small businesses. And that's why the alternative process was introduced. Now, is that all understood? Don't worry, it will be. Our guest on today's show is Sarah McCreesh. Sarah is a policy analyst with IEDR, and I began by asking her how she arrived in that role.
I started with the registry here back in 2012, so going over 7 years now, and I started on the admin side of things, not knowing a thing about domains. Quickly got enthralled by it all and ended up going towards the policy side of things in a lot more detail. Went back to college and got my master's in law, and here I am now looking after pretty much all the policy elements that kind of crop up from the day-to-day kind of operation side of the registry, and also then the operations of the Policy Advisory Committee, which is a multi-stakeholder body that comprises representative organizations, registrar representatives, and government agencies, amongst a whole bunch of others. So they all come together and work to inform and make recommendations on .ie policy. So I pretty much manage their operations and just coordinate it on it whenever they meet and their kind of interim discussions.
And indeed, Black Knight, of course, participates in the Policy Advisory Committee. And you guys have been busy, in fact, on that committee in the last few years, because I know that committee was only formed a few years back, but there have been some really quite innovative additions and changes in policy. I'm talking about, for example, the addition of fathers for accented non-ASCII characters in Irish domain names. But also, in addition to that, and I think the most significant one was the liberalisation in registration policy last year, which has made it easier and faster for people to register .ie names. And really, as your report from IEDR showed last week, saw quite a surge in registrations.
Absolutely. It's been a very busy time. The PAC was only really set up in, the first meeting was in February 2015. And I think we had a kind of a backlog wish list of things we wanted to get through. And in fairness to the stakeholders that are involved, they've all worked flat out over the last few years to kind of just take one meaty policy change after another. It's like you said, we had a secondary market introduced. We've liberalised the registration rules, which has obviously been a massive change to the whole registration process. It's really speeded things up for ourselves here. And I think for registrars, you're probably better placed to comment on that. But it has definitely given a boost anyway in registrations, and it's been somewhat sustained. So we're quite happy with that. Absolutely.
So this is the latest initiative, I suppose, to come through the Policy Advisory Committee of IEDR, Sarah, and it is this alternative dispute resolution policy. And it's an alternative, that's the first thing I suppose to say about it. It's an alternative to the existing policy, and I'm not going to ask you to go into too much detail on the existing policy, but perhaps just to show why this new policy was introduced and how it differs from the existing IE dispute resolution policy.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've had that in the existing, what we call the formal dispute resolution policy, for many, many years. And that kind of caters more to the rights-based side of things, so for trademarks and whatnot. And it's a very well-renowned process. It's well-regarded, and it's operated through the World Intellectual Property Organization. So what happened was, we found that over years we'd had anecdotal evidence coming through that, you know, whilst that was fine for the IP community and for their brand managers, there was kind of a gap in terms of having a dispute mechanism for, I suppose, SMEs and for the wider pool of .ie users who were looking for, you know, some other initiative to be able to dispute a .ie domain registration. So we actually, that whole discussion around introducing it came up during a period when the PAC was really focusing on bringing other customer experience enhancement initiatives, like the alteration to the registration criteria. And it was that gap that they focused on very quickly to say, well, look, we need to have a model that is, I suppose, more affordable. Mm. The WIPO process that had been in place for many years is quite costly. It started at about €1,500 up to €4,500 for, that's if you wanted to go for three panelists instead of one. Mm. And, you know, that was quite cost prohibitive to a lot of the kind of SMEs and for just, you know, normal internet users who are from the Irish community of the public. So from that point of view, we thought, is there a way to bring in a more affordable option that is still fair and, you know, robust, that we can really, you know, stand by? So at that point, we kind of looked out to see what all the other registries were doing. And we saw, you know, there was precedent there for having a kind of parallel independent service. And that really, all the stakeholders on the pack from day one were very, very quick to recognize the value that it would bring to the namespace. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, there's been a growing kind of rise in SMEs and startups in general over the last years. So it was more that they just, that they weren't really easily being accommodated through that WIPO process. Mm-hmm. We went away and kind of started documenting what the objectives would be. So how can we make the process fair for everyone involved? When you register a .ie domain name, registrants go through, you know, they do a fair bit of work in that they give us evidence of their connection to Ireland. So they prove that they are who they say they are and that they have some, you know, substantive connection to Ireland. So we kind of felt that's always worked to quite a good extent to limit any kind of issues we'd have with any social behavior or cyber squatting and the like. Compared to other registries, we've always had very, very low numbers, very insignificant, of like under 10 to 15 serious disputes on an annual basis. So it wasn't that we were having any major issues with disputes. It was more just that when they did arise, we just found SMEs weren't kind of comfortably accommodated in that existing formal process. But as part of the ADR, one of the things was just, given that registrants had already proven their kind of connection to Ireland, we were looking for a way to keep it fair for them. So in that instance, it kind of became apparent that it would be easier and fairer for all that, you know, the burden of proof is actually on the complainant. They can make their allegation, they can give their evidence. Both parties will get the chance to engage. As part of the service, brought in a mediation option, which we'd never previously offered at all under the formal existing process as well. So it was nice to be able to encourage that kind of discourse, engagement, and try and find, I suppose, a friendlier way to address disputes when they arise.
You mentioned discussion and mediation and that as well. These aren't things that you typically have in a more adversarial kind of process, but that's a distinction here, isn't it, in this alternative process? And that's managed and facilitated by the service provided by this company, Net Neutrals. Can you tell me a little bit about that and how that actually works in practice?
Yeah, well, at the point that the PAC were very comfortable with the idea of bringing in a dispute service, once they kind of all recognised the value, we went out to a number of different bodies and started looking at what their services were. And I suppose, in a way, we started drafting up our wish list of what this service could be. Like, if you're starting from scratch, you have that benefit of looking at what's the best practice everywhere. And we did see that there were mediation options in place with a number of registries. And it was one of those kind of areas of specialty for Net Neutrals. They're an accredited dispute resolution body under EU law. And their expertise goes back over, I think, for 20 years. So they've been very, very helpful throughout the process. And were very quick to give us feedback whenever we were drafting the rules to say, you know, what's practical, what's not. And one area that they've said they find is that when you get parties to the table and you actually get them engaging, you'll find that, you know, things just, it runs smoother for everyone involved. It's a better process and people leave with a better experience. So that's, even from the performance that we've had, the process is only live now for about 7-8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And their whole process is built on engagement from the very start. So even before the kind of official mediator or, you know, neutral, who's going to make a decision on anything, gets involved, the parties are brought together into a private forum online to just, you know, let it all out, to have a discussion about it. And what they've seen is that, you know, in theory, you would think they really need that mediator from that first step. But what's happening is the parties actually do tend to engage with each other and they try to find a solution. At some point then, it often happens that the mediator will step in at that point and is ready then to help them, you know, come to something amicable. But they are finding that, you know, when you give people the option to kind of deal with themselves and they have that ability to communicate, they really will try to get it, like, as long as it's not, I suppose, anything particularly too bad faith where someone's been, you know, defaming someone. But what we've seen so far is, like, business-to-business disputes where both parties are, you know, professional individuals. They want to find a quick, affordable, amicable solution. So they're all willing to come to the table and really talk it out. So that's been a real kind of eye-opener to us, because we've never obviously had that experience with the formal existing WIPO process. So it's been, so far the feedback from Net Neutral is very much that the mediation has been a very strong kind of success part of it, the whole process.
That's good to hear. Could you take us through a hypothetical or an abstract trip through the process, Sarah? How does it work? Let's say I have a complaint to make. Someone out there is using a .ie domain name that I feel infringes or is somehow infringing on my rights. How can I go about using this alternative dispute resolution process?
Well, it's quite straightforward. We have made a number of kind of plain English, very easy to follow materials just to make sure the process is as accessible as possible. But it really, it starts here with the registry. So the first thing is that anyone who wants to submit a complaint, they need to just prove that they have a connection to Ireland, which is really to verify that they would have been eligible to hold the domain if it wasn't already registered. So we do that initial check here. And once we do that, we will then pass the complaint information on to Net Neutrals with steps in. We remain in a bystander throughout the rest of the process. And they then determine what is supposed to is. They'll kind of engage with the complainant and the respondent and kind of figure out what's the most appropriate channel to go through, whether is it mediation, is it decision. We also offer an opinion channel through that, where if someone's thinking of maybe seeking a bigger dispute, maybe going to the Irish courts, they can get an opinion on the matter first. Mm-hmm. So it's really, at that point, Net Neutrals have a very much, they engage a lot with the parties to kind of find, look, what's best for you? Do you think you can work together? Do you want to talk about it in mediation? So far, that seems to be working. Or do you want to just go straight to a decision? If things have, you know, completely broken down from a communication point of view, is it best to just get the neutral involved and to arbitrate on the matter? So it's from that point, you'll give the information. If you're making a complaint to Net Neutrals, they'll ask you for some information about your complaint, like the nature of it, any information you can give to support it, and both parties will get a chance to reply. And then the decision maker will step in, or if it's the mediator, they'll kind of help you keep discussions constructive to keep everything moving in the right direction.
And Sarah, in the case where, let's sit in the other seat now for a minute, and let's say I'm the registrant or the respondent in this complaint. Suppose I'm notified that a complaint has been made by someone under this alternative dispute resolution process. Do I have to engage with that, and what happens if I don't?
I would strongly recommend that parties engage, just so you can actually put your side of the story down. I mean, the whole crux of this is to have a fair hearing for everyone involved. Mm-hmm. So we do strongly recommend that registrants engage. Really, I mean, there's no onus on them to do it, but we do strongly recommend it. At the end of the day, it's, you know, it's your opportunity to defend your registration. It may be that you are making completely, you know, good faith use of the domain, and it may just be, you know, a misunderstanding between the parties. So it's definitely advisable to engage rather than to not engage.
And if I don't engage, a decision could go against me and I could find myself losing my domain registration. Is that correct?
It wouldn't instantly go, like, the decision wouldn't instantly go in your favour just because you've chosen not to participate. It will be based on the evidence that the complainant gives to support whatever allegation they're making. So it wouldn't be kind of a clear-cut case that if you don't, you're definitely going to lose the
Understood,
domain.
Yes. But it would be the case. But I do have an opportunity to present my side of the case, and it would be in my interest to do that.
Oh, absolutely. And in fairness, I've seen the Net Neutrals materials. It's very straightforward. They give you a template with a bunch of kind of predefined questions to kind of help guide registrants and both parties really on the level of information they need to give. So they have made it very, very straightforward in that regard.
So what are the criteria involved in making these decisions, Sarah, in as simple terms as I suppose they can be put?
So really, it's built around if you have rights to some extent in the name, and that can be, you know, unregistered rights as well as kind of normal traditional rights that we know as like trademarks and whatnot. But you'll also need to show that there's something negative to it, that it's been used or registered abusively or in bad faith. So maybe something, you know, like defamation or impersonation, passing off. It could be something, you know, truly on the kind of more questionable side of things as well, like fraudulent activity as well. So it's they're the more serious end of the cases. It can also just cover, you know, normal business-to-business disputes. We even see family businesses that have been, you know, in operation for quite some time where maybe the partners have a falling out. So it's really got a wide base in terms of the types of cases that it can cover.
And Sarah, this is worth saying, but I sometimes think that maybe a lot of people who don't think very much about intellectual property or about intellectual property rights and that, it is a point worth making, would you agree, that just because I have rights in a name doesn't mean that other people don't also have rights. And if someone has registered a domain name and they have rights in that name and they are using it in good faith, then really, it doesn't automatically follow that just because, you know, that my rights trump their rights.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that is taken into consideration during the process, that if someone is making, you know, good faith, bona fide use of the service or of the domain in some way, that will definitely go in their favour. That, you know, I said, this can come down to miscommunication between parties where one is convinced someone's out to do something bad against them. Mm-hmm. And maybe when they're brought to the table and they can actually discuss it by mediation or even in the kind of initial stage before the mediators step in, that they actually kind of get to see that, you know, it's not necessarily that one person's out to get another. It's just they both have a perceived, you know, right to the domain, which happens a lot. I mean, from my own experience when I worked on the admin side of things here, we would get clients calling all the time under the belief that they have a business name, but, you know, you could have any other number of people who have the same business name, mm-hmm. and they want it and whatnot. So it does happen. Yeah, there good faith use is definitely taken into consideration.
Now, I'm not going to go into detail about the exact process and the different types of decisions, but suffice it to say that there is an opportunity to request an opinion. There's an opportunity to request a decision, and a decision can be made as part of this alternative process. Sarah, what I want to ask you is, what happens then? Let's say I'm on one side or the other, either the complainant or the respondent, and a decision is made and I'm not happy with it. The decision has gone against me. To what extent is that binding, and what are my options at that point?
So whenever a decision is made at the registry end here, we won't implement that decision for a period of 21 days. Mm-hmm. That is to allow parties to appeal if they choose to do so. Now, there is a formal appeal mechanism as part of the alternative dispute resolution process. Now, it can be, I think it's go to a panel of three specialists. Mm-hmm. So the cost is quite costly in that case. It is about €3,000. That's if you choose to appeal through that mechanism. Otherwise, I mean, the right is there for you to either progress through the Irish courts or even mm-hmm. through the other dispute resolution process that's managed by WIPO. Either way, once we become informed that there is a dispute, an appeal to the dispute happening, we will hold implementing mm-hmm. that decision until it's been kind of clarified whether, you know, a further dispute's been withdrawn or whether, you know, there's a different decision coming from another party. So that's kind of built into the process to make sure that if people aren't happy with the decision they get and they decide to seek that appeal, that time frame is in there to make sure, you know, there's no adverse damage done to the domain name and, I suppose, the associated web services like the email address or a website.
I think what I like about this, Sarah, is that if the criterion here is, I suppose, to have an initial process which is much more cost effective than the formal process is, then, as you're pointing out, if you are going to appeal, it is going to get more expensive at that point. But having said that, because of the initial process, there's been a lot of exploratory work done, and both sides know the cards that everyone is holding. Both sides know the strength and relative weaknesses of each other's cases. And I suppose if you are going to start thinking about investing money in fighting it at that stage, you have a very good insight into whether or not you actually have a case that's worth fighting.
Absolutely. And that's down to, I suppose, the transparency around the whole process, is that, you know, both parties have access to this online portal where the neutral is engaging and discussing with both parties. So it is a very kind of easy to follow and transparent service like that. So people definitely, before they get to the appeal stage, if they're unhappy, they do have a lot of information that they wouldn't have when they started out the dispute, just because there's been so much engagement between the parties, which wouldn't normally happen.
How much more cost effective, Sarah, is it than the formal process?
So if you are applying for mediation, that is €200. But if you're going for a decision, you'd be looking at, if the respondent agrees to kind of engage, you're looking at €750. That's a lot cheaper than, I suppose, the starting price with the WIPO process is €1,500. So it's half the price. But if for some reason the current domain holder decides not to engage, and the, you know, the neutral's making a decision based on just the input from the complainant, they do actually put in a price reduction, and that's all the way down to 250 euros. So it is very, very fair. They do work to kind of keep costs down wherever possible. And I suppose the rationale there is that, you know, the expert involved only has to review the information of one party. They don't have to actually look at the kind of reducing the workload by half.
Now, this came into effect, Sarah, in July, and I think you mentioned a few minutes ago there that there's a relatively small volume of disputes. Did you say 15 disputes a year or thereabouts?
Normally we've had that in the past, yeah, about 12 to 15. And so far in the last 7 to 8 weeks, we've had 4 under the new process. Now, to be honest, August and July are usually kind of quiet times in the domain industry. Anyway, at least for ourselves, we've always found a bit of, well, people take holidays, things get a lot quieter. So it's kind of been nice in the way that we've been able to test the process and make sure everything is robust and everything's working the way it should, and it does, happily. But it's been kind of at least a soft launch in that sense. We've had a chance to really test everything out. So I would anticipate a bit maybe of a growth potentially in the next few months once kind of it gets back to business as usual after the summer months.
And can I ask, Sarah, in those 4 cases, is that 4 cases that have elected to use the ADRP process as opposed to the formal process, or have you had some cases using the formal process as well in that time?
We've had 1 case, I believe, under the formal process, okay. And then the 4 are going through the ADOR.
And when we were chatting earlier on, you were saying that in your experience, sometimes complainants who are, let's say, brand managers and corporate registrants and that will probably tend to prefer the formal process, especially if they're international companies and that, because it's using a template that's internationally understood and that they're familiar with.
Absolutely. It is worth kind of reiterating that the WIPO process is very, very well recognized. It has all the brand managers well used to engaging with it. I suppose if you're dealing with kind of IP clients, they more than likely have the resources and the experience of dealing with the WIPO process. So I think in that sense, that will still remain the first port of call for many of those brand managers, IP holders, just because it's what they're used to and they know they're comfortable using that process. Now, we have had some interest already in the kind of rights-based elements on this side. So it'd be interesting to see how that happens, how that progresses over time. But for now, yeah, we're seeing both processes continuing to be used.
Well, it's the proof of the pudding, I suppose, Sarah, is in the eating. And it's encouraging, as you say, over the last 8 weeks or so that there have been 4 cases taken using this new process. And I suppose when people look at what their options are, it's certainly a lot friendlier and a lot more easy to understand as it's outlined on the website. Can you tell us where can people find out more? It's on your website, I presume, and it's easily signposted from there.
Indeed, yeah, if you go to the IADOR.ae website, there's a specialist page on that and the policies up there as well. Usually if people have queries, they can have them there. Otherwise, our registration services team here are always willing to field questions. So if people, you know, are a little bit unsure of what to do or just want information on the 2 processes, we're always more than happy to help. But that's really our role here, is to be the information conduit. We are independent in both processes, so we remain a bystander. We implement the decisions when they're made, but really we're just happy to be in the position where we can offer .ie users a real choice in terms of what suits their type of dispute best and, I suppose, their means as well.
You're listening to the Black Knight podcast. That was Sarah McCreesh, policy analyst at IEDR. And as she said, you can find out more about dispute resolution for .ie domain names at their site, which is IEDR.ie. Go to blackknight.blog to find out more about this podcast and to subscribe for further episodes. You'll find lots of other news there as well, including details of the information campaign we are supporting called PSD2 Ready. Did you know that the second EU Payment Services Directive will take effect next month? And it affects everyone, literally. That's because anyone who makes electronic payments will feel its effects in terms of increased secure authentication requirements, for one thing. But more importantly, any business which receives electronic payments could ultimately find themselves unable to do so if they're not compliant with the directive. Help is at hand, and the E-Commerce Association of Ireland is holding a seminar on the 4th of September to explain what's required by the directive and how to comply with it. There is a cost to attend that seminar, but it's going to be live streamed for free on the day as well. And you can register in advance to receive that live stream. Details are on our site on blackknight.blog. blackknight.blog for the news, blackknight.com for domains and hosting services. And I'll talk to you again soon on on the podcast. Good evening, Chiadorella, Slán agus Benacht.